Honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. So glad you're listening to Naturally Savvy. My lovely co-host Andrea is off today working out. People say, oh, it takes so much time. I'm not seeing the results. Well, let me tell you something. If you do HIIT training, you will see some great changes in your body. And here to talk about it in her fantastic book, HIIT It, Fitnessistas, I love that, Get More from Less Workout and Diet Plan to Lose Weight and Feel Great Fast, is Gina Harney. Hi, Gina.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It's so great to have you on the show. You know, my husband loves your book, and so do I, and he's gotten really into the HIIT training, and he just feels so great, and it makes such a difference. I have a really bad leg injury right now, so I'm like limping along going, I want to work out. So when I'm feeling better, I will. But tell us, what, for people who aren't familiar, what is HIIT? And this is HIIT, by the way, training.
Yes. So it's HIIT, high intensity interval training. And how it works is you're alternating bouts of high intensity effort. So you're working as hard as you can and then recovering, working, and then recovering. And the nice thing about these workouts is that they're very short. So they're only about 15 to 30 minutes max. So they're great for busy people. And they're also really effective. So they're going to help you to boost your fitness performance, increase your aerobic capacity, and also help you to boost your metabolism and burn fat. So the idea is you want to work smarter, but not necessarily longer or harder.
Let's have an example of somebody who likes to run. Can you kind of take us through a beginning HIIT training for them?
Sure. So before you experiment with HIIT training, the idea is you want to be able to have a steady state cardio base. So you want to be able to do 30 minutes most days of the week. So once you have your base down, you feel pretty comfortable and you want to add in some interval training, you can either do it distance based or you can do it based off of time or minutes. So if you were on the treadmill, you're like, I'm going to do a running HIIT workout. You could either do like a minute really hard, really fast, a minute easy, a minute hard, a minute easy, do 30 seconds. You could do equal ratios. You could also do distance based. So you could go as fast as you can for like 0.25 miles and then recover for 0.25 miles.
And it can be pretty tough. I know my husband comes home and he is winded, but his exercise is done and he's seen results.
Yeah. That's
so it's pretty, not easy. Yeah. I mean, you're really pushing yourself, correct?
Definitely. You want to work as hard as you can because you're working out for a shorter duration. So my idea is like, let's make it really count because it's going to be shorter and then you're done.
Now, give us some other examples where you can do this type of training.
You can do it home, anywhere. You don't necessarily need any tools or equipment. You can use your own body weight. I like to do body weight strength exercises. You can do some push-ups, some squats, tricep dips, and then in between you could do your HIIT rounds. So for those, you want your heart rate to increase pretty fast. So they'll be more of your like plyometric style exercises. So like your jump squats and your jumping lunges and burpees and exercises like that. So you could do like a few strength-based exercises and then do a HIIT round for about 5 minutes. So work 30 seconds, do your jump squats, recover 30 seconds, do some burpees, recover 30 seconds, maybe some jumping lunges, and then recover and then go back into your strength. So if you set it up that way, I find that your heart rate is elevated while you're doing your strength sets. So you're going to burn more calories overall too.
Now, do you use any kind of heart rate monitor, or do you recommend that people know what their resting heart rate is? Give us a scoop on that because people want to make sure they're working in the right range, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I like to go by perceived exertion. It's more feasible, I think, for everyone to do. So if you can say your address in a full sentence during your workout, probably work a little bit harder. So if you get to the point where you can only talk in like 1 to 2 word bursts, then you know that you're really challenging yourself. As far as wearing a heart rate monitor goes, if you have one, that's awesome. For your HIIT round, you want to get above that 85%. Of your max heart rate. So to calculate that, you would just take 220, subtract your age, and then multiply that by 0.85. So anything above that, you know you're working really hard.
Now, kettlebells are all the rage now, and I'm on your blog, which I love. You have such great information, and you have a great kettlebell circuit workout, which has great photos of you. And my gosh, you are stunning. So just people should go check you out, not only for your great information, but you're a pleasure to watch. And it's really nice. And so if you were doing a kettlebell workout and you wanted to get your heart rate up, although I'm guessing it does on its own, but can you incorporate some sort of hit in there? Or how does that work?
Totally. My favorite way to do that at home with the kettlebell is just with kettlebell swings, because those are going to get your heart rate up really fast. So I'll do a few strength-based exercises with the kettlebell, like maybe some goblet squats, some lunges, rows, and then in between, I'll do like a minute of kettlebell swings, and that'll crank your heart rate up, and you'll be super sweaty by the time it's over. So yeah, it's a great option to get in some cardio and strength together.
Now, I also see that you have on your blog or site, Luscious Grain-Free Lemon Cake. Are you primarily grain-free? Or give us some of your tips on what we should be eating.
I'm not grain-free. I just know it's kind of like the rage right now with a lot of my paleo friends. So I try to post a variety of recipes. I do eat mostly gluten-free. I'll eat gluten here and there. I just find that I feel better when I don't eat a ton of gluten. But I also found that usually when I'm eating gluten, it's also with the sugars and the fats and all the other things that kind of just weigh you down and make you feel lethargic. For how I recommend to eat, I break it down in the book too. I translated the HIT acronym to diet as well. So the H is for healthy. You want to obviously choose unprocessed whole foods. The first I is going to be intuitive. So you want to go by your intuition. Your body's going to tell you when you're hungry, what you're craving. You can kind of look into your cravings and see if it's hinting that you're deficient in something. So if you're craving salt, you might need some more sodium in your diet. If you're craving something really greasy, you might need some extra healthy fats in there too. And you also find that if you follow your intuition, your eating is going to be more intermittent throughout the day. So I see a lot of people follow these eating plans. They're like, oh, I have to eat every 3 hours, blah, 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 blah. And you find that you're not actually hungry and you're eating because you feel like you should be eating or you're following this plan. So I find that if you go by your hunger cues, you're going to end up giving your body what it needs anyway throughout the day. And then the T is going to be for tracking. So I really like to track my food, especially when it comes to produce intake. So you want to track and make sure you're getting your fresh produce for the day and also drinking enough water to hydrate yourself.
Yeah, it's so important. Do you have like a big salad every day, or what ways do you get vegetable smoothies into your diet?
Yeah, I like to have a big salad at least for lunch or dinner, or with lunch or dinner. So even if I'm having something more like casserole type based, like if I'm having enchiladas, I'll put the enchiladas on top of the salad just so I'm getting some extra greens with it. And I also like to do smoothies and juices. Such an easy way to just get extra produce. Throw in some frozen berries and spinach. Also add in like some almond butter just to make it more filling too.
Oh, that sounds good. Now I love this on your blog. You say, hi, gorgeous. I'm so glad you're here. And you say that you're a military wife, you're a mom, you do all this great stuff. I want to thank your husband for his service and for you as well.
Oh, thank
you. Just wanted to put that in there. And also, when did you first get into health?
I first really started to get into it in college. I danced my entire life growing up, so I was always active, but I didn't necessarily know how to nourish myself. I just kind of ate whatever, and I grew up in a Hispanic family, so we always had like enchiladas, rice, beans, tacos, so I didn't eat a ton of produce, and I just felt really lethargic during my dance classes, and I wondered if my nutrition had an impact on that. So about when I was 18, I decided to kind of transform my lifestyle and find something that would help energize me for my dance classes. So, of course, that involved trying all of the fad diets in succession. I did everything. And then eventually I found more of a Mediterranean style of eating. And it just taught me the beauty of whole foods and fresh produce and healthy fats and lean proteins.
Gina, you are singing my song. You can learn more about Gina by going to www.fitnessista.com or at fitnessista. I can't say that. I want to thank everyone for listening. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening and stay well.